place to come in the middle of things. Maybe that's a sign. Tami nishchat b'shmoneh u'mechsa. So the tami that we do it in the, that is a tzutz medium every day, one is in the morning and one is the arbaim, one is in the afternoon. Tami nishchat b'shmoneh u'mechsa. So generally the tami is slaughtered at 8.5 hours, which on a perfect day would be 2:30. The karav that is on an equinox would be 2:30. The karav b'tisha u'mechsa. And you actually offer it up on the altar at 9.5 hours. The Arve Psachim, on Erev Psachim, Nishchat B'Sheva Mech, so you move everything up by 1 hour, so you start the Shechita at 7.5 hours. The Karav, the Karev B'Shmone Umechse, and then you actually do the offering at 8.5, leaving yourself essentially 2.5 hours at the end of the day, and we'll see exactly 2.5 hours at the end of the day? 6 hours. More 3.5 hours at the end of the day, and we'll see why it has to do with the Korban Pesach. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. It doesn't make a difference whether Erev Pesach is on a weekday or whether Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbat, and we'll see what the difference is later on in the Gemara. In any event, you slaughter at 7.5 and you offer at 8.5. Chal Erev Pesach liyot be'erev Shabbat, but if Erev Pesach falls out on a Friday, so nishchat b'sheishu mechza, you do the tamid at 6.5, the karev b'shevo mechza, and you offer it at 7.5 hours, and the Pesach acharav, and the Pesach comes afterwards. Okay? Gemara, minahani mili, how do you know that you're supposed to offer the animal, that you're supposed to slaughter the animal on a regular day at 8.5 hours and offer it up at 9.5 hours, which would be on a perfect equinox? The slaughtering would be, again, it would be 2:30. And the offering would be 3:30, leaving you 2.5 hours till the end of the day at 6 p.m. So Amar Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Dama Kral, I'll tell you, because the pasuk says, "Et hakeves echad, et hakeves echad taseh v'boker, v'et hakeves hasheni taseh bein harbaim." So the first one you do in the morning, and the next one you do in the middle of the eaves. Chilku leven shnei harbaim. What do they mean by ben arbaim? They mean literally right in the middle of the arbaim. What are the two arbaim? Bet sha'ot u'mechza l'kan. Shtei sha'ot bet sha'ot u'mechza l'kan. So you slaughter it in such a way that you leave 2.5 hours over to each side. Ah, that's only 5 hours. In a standard afternoon, you have 6 hours. But you need 1 hour between the slaughtering and the offering. So v'sha'a echat la'asiyato. It takes you 1 hour from slaughtering to the finishing. So if you think about how it works, if you start, 12 o'clock is in the middle of the day. So 2.5 hours on one side, you start to offer it up at 2:30. You finish the preparations and actually offer it at 3:30, which leaves you 2.5 hours until 6 o'clock. So essentially, you've divided the day up perfectly. You've got two 2.5 hour blocks, and in the middle, you have a 1 hour block from Shechita to the offering, from the Korban to Oled. So essentially, they're reading the pasuk literally. That is, you got to cut the day right in half. So Mativ Rava. So Rava asks a question. He says, "Wait a second. No. Ba'arve Pesachim it says Nishchat b'sheva v'mechsa ukarev b'shmone v'mechsa, that you offer it up. You start the slaughtering process at 7.5 hours, which leaves you only 1.5 hours on the inside. The karev b'shmone v'mechsa, and you finish the actual offering at 8, leaving you 3.5 hours on the other side. So you're 1 hour lopsided." Towards the early afternoon. So bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. And the reason why that's important is because on chol you can maybe understand it because you have to be makriv the korban and slaughter it up. But you can't do all of that stuff to the with the korban pesach afterwards. But you can't do any of that on Shabbat anyway. You can't do any of that on Shabbat. You have to wait till Shabbat is over. So why are you moving up the slaughtering of the tummy in an extra hour when essentially you're just going to be sitting around doing nothing for an hour? You see what I mean? That is on a weekday. On Erev Pesach, you have to move up the tamid a little bit in order to be able to get in the everything that you need to do with the. No, actually, I'm making it too complicated. It's a simple question, which is according to this, the Torah requires that the tamid be done exactly at 8.5 hours to 9.5 hours, because that splits the afternoon. So how is it possible that on an Erev Pesach you move everything up by 1 hour, whether it's Shabbat or Chol? You're doing something the Torah doesn't allow you to do. I think that's the easiest way to understand it right now. So the Gemara says, "Isak adaita b'shmonu mechza diaraita." And if you're telling me that you're learning out that the 8.5 hours that we think of a tamid on a regular day, a non-Pesach day, comes to the Torah, hechi makdimim la. How can you move up a Torah law just because the erev Pesach falls out on the same day? So Amar Rava mitzvato de tamid mishiyitnu tzvale erev. So he says it has nothing that you. The whole thing being arbayim does not mean you have to cut the day. You have to cut the afternoon right down the middle. All it's trying to tell you is that you have to do it when the, what does it mean, Bein Arbaim? It means when the shadows of the evening start to grow, which means that the sun moves on a perfect day off of its 12 o'clock, so to speak, and you start to get shadows going in the other direction. So the verse is, my timer, why? D'amakra Bein Arbaim. Me idna dematriel shimshol l'ma'ariv. What is Bein Arbaim? Doesn't really mean between the two evenings. It means while or during the time of the evenings. And what does the evening actually start? The evening actually starts when the sun starts to move to across the sky to the Erev, to the west, essentially. Bein Harbayim means when the sun is now in the west. Hilkach b'shar yimot hashana hilkach. So what that proves is that the first time to start your korban tamid on a standard day is exactly at 12 o'clock or 12:01, let's say, because that's when the sun starts to move over into the evening. That's what Bein Arbayim is. So how can we wait till 8? How come we wait till 8.5 hours, which is 2:30 rather than 12:01? So Gemara says, Hilchach b'shar yimot hashana de'ika nedarim nedavot. I'll tell you why you have to move it over 2 hours. Because on regular days of the year, not only do you have to do a korban tamid, but you have all kinds of people walking into the Beit HaMikdash, bringing in their korbanot of nedarim and nedavot, and those have to be done, we'll see, before the tamid of the day. The Rachmana Amar Aleha Chelve Hashlamim on the. Now here's the pasuk. The pasuk says, "On it, that is, on the tamid, will be the fats of the shlamim," and those would be the nedarim and nedavot that people bring in order to pay off whatever debts they, you know, I vow to God that I'm going to kill Bessie here and bring her in as a sacrifice. But the pasuk says, "Vamar Mar," and Mar interprets the pasuk as follows: Aleha. What does it mean, Aleha? That is, you should put on the tamid all of the other shlamim. Aleha hashlim kol hakorbanot kulam. You have to essentially make sure that you finish all the other korbanot of the day, which mean all of the optional korbanot. See, a tamid is required. It has to be there. All the other korbanot, it depends on how many people are walking into the Beit HaMikdash, bringing in their various korbanot. However many people bring in the korbanot, all of that has to be done before the korban tamid is brought. And therefore, what you do is you push the tamid from 6:01, or let's, I'm sorry, from, not 6:01, from 12:01, or really 12:30, I think they wanted to wait a full half hour, till 2:30, which is when you start the actual slaughtering, and 3:30 is when you, it gives you enough time to do all of the hashlamot, which according to the pasuk need to be done, the way they're interpreting it, need to be done before the korban tamid. That is, they're learning. Let me go over that again. Rachman Amar, it's right above the Tosafot. It says Midi. Rachman Amar Aleha Chalvei Hashlamim. Amar Amar Aleha Hashleim. It doesn't mean specifically Shlamim, specific Shlamim. It means Hashleim, finish up, from the word Shilanti, I finished up all of the other korbanot before you get to the korban tamid of the afternoon. Kol hakorbanot kulam. So the Gemara says, so therefore Ma'achrinam Lei Tarte Sha'e. So therefore, what we do is we push off the tamid by 2 hours, which brings us to 8.5 hours in the day, or 2:30 in the afternoon on an equinox. Va'avdina le b'shmona u'mechze. Yeah, and therefore we do it at 8.5 hours, which means 2:30 in the afternoon on an equinox. Ba'arve p'sachim, however, on arve p'sachim, de'ika pesach acharav. The Pesach comes afterwards. Now that breaks the rule, because we just said they have to do all the korbanot before the tamid. But we're going to see later that the Pesach breaks the rule and the Pesach goes after the tamid. But since I have to get the tamid, makdima leisha achat. What I do is I move it up to 7:30 to 8:30, from 7.5 hours to 8.5 hours. That is, from 1:30 in the afternoon to 2:30, because I need an extra hour to do the korban that I would not normally have to do on a regular day. On a regular day, the last thing that you do is the korban tamid, and therefore I slide it 2 hours in order to give you a whole bunch of preparation time beforehand. But here I don't have that leisure, because if I slide it up 2 hours, I may not leave enough space to take care of the Korban Pesach, and therefore I slide it back 1 hour and make a compromise. I'm giving an hour for the Nedarim and the Davot that may come during that day, but I'm taking an hour away from that time in order to give me a little extra space for the Korban Pesach. But if it falls chal erev Pesach liop erev Shabbat, but then I have the third condition, which is what do I do with the tamid when the tamid's on an erev regular erev Pesach that's on, let's say, a Tuesday? So I've got to slide it up by 1 hour from 1:30 to 2:30 in order to give me an extra hour for the Korban Pesach. But what happens when, what do I do with the tamid of the day, the standard daily tamid of the afternoon, when it's not only erev Pesach but it's also erev Shabbat? So, chal erev Pesach liop erev Shabbat, teikanami tzliato, delo dachi Shabbat. Because what's the problem with the Pesach? Not only do you have to shecht it, you have to fry that whole thing up. Not fry it, sorry, you have to broil. You have to broil that whole thing up. And you're not allowed, in case of Pesach, you're not allowed to broil up on Shabbat. Because the Pesach was supposed to be done before the night of the 15th. The night of the 15th starts Pesach as in Chag Matzot. But Chag Pesach, technically, is a few hours beforehand when you're sacrificing the Korban Pesach. That can't be done when Shabbat starts. So keep in mind that a regular Korban that's required to do on Shabbat, you do it on Shabbat. But Korban Pesach had to be done before the evening starts, and you're not allowed to fry it up. Why do you have to be done before the evening starts? Because once the evening starts, it's Shabbat. I'm allowed to do Korban on Shabbat. You're not allowed to do the Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to prepare. You could eat the Korban Pesach on Shabbat, obviously, but you're not allowed to prepare by broiling up the Korban Pesach on Shabbat. And therefore, you had to get the whole shebang in on Erev Pesach. That is not only the shechting, not only the whatever ceremony was done for the hakrava for the Korban, but also all the broiling that was necessary in order to prepare the meat, I suppose, for eating for the Kohanim and for everybody else, I think everybody else. But that, all that to be done before Shabbat. So it wasn't enough just to steal away 1 hour. What I'm doing now is Mukminan le adinei b'sheish umechza. And therefore, what I do is I move it up an extra hour. So what I have now is the Korban Tabid. I start at 6.5 hours, which is 12:30. I finish that at 1:30, leaving me essentially almost no time whatsoever for any nidavim or nidavot that would come around. You have essentially have no time whatsoever. I guess the morning. I don't think you could do it in the morning. You essentially, in order for you to be able to get the Pesach in on time, instead of sliding towards 12 o'clock 1 hour, which we do on a standard Erev Pesach, I'm going to slide it 2 hours because it's Erev Pesach, which is also Erev Shabbat, and therefore the entire Korban Pesach needs the maximum amount of time. In order to max out the time, I move up the Korban Tami to its earliest time, which is 12:30 or 6.5 hours in the day. Is that okay? You want me to graph it out? I can graph it out a little bit. Does that make sense? If you want, I can grab it.
So everything has to be done before nightfall.
The Pesach. So normally, here's my range for Korban Tamid. So I should really be doing it as soon as possible. But I move it over here to halfway through. It's actually a half an hour on this side where the Korban starts, where the Shechita starts, and a half an hour on this side where I actually am all that. But essentially, I cut it up. Leave me 2 hours on this. Why do I want 2 hours here? I want 2 hours here to bring all the Davim and the Davot of the people. But if it's Erev Pesach, I got a Korban to do afterwards, so I really need a little more time. So I slide it back an hour. That leaves me a little over an hour for the Nedarim and Davot, an hour for the Korban Pesach, and that gives me 3.5 hours for the an hour for the Korban Tamid, and 3.5 hours for the Korban Pesach. But when it's Chal Yom Erev Shabbat, I can't afford that. I might go over and still be roasting up the meat when Shabbat comes in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that tamid, I'm going to slide it all the way up to the maximum time, leaving me the full amount of space to be able to be makir the Korban Pesach, chas v'shalom, not go into Shabbat while I'm still roasting the meat, because you're not allowed to do that. So essentially, first we moved up 1 hour for Pesach, and when Pesach falls in on Erev Shabbat, we have to move it up 2 hours to give the maximum space. And that's essentially what we have. Alright. This Tana Rabbanan Kasidu Roba Chol Kaksidu Roba Shabbat, I'm going to skip this.
What do I need Erev Pesach that doesn't fall Erev Shabbat 1 hour more?
I only need 1 hour extra.
Why? I can cook into the night.
You can't, when it doesn't fall into Shabbat, you could still be roasting into the night of Pesach.
So why do I need to start an hour early?
So here's the problem. I'm guessing that everything else except the actual roasting for the Pesach had to be done beforehand. I'm guessing that you needed an extra slide for the hours. But the problem is I'm coming right in the middle. I don't know if you've already learned the Hilchot Korban Pesach itself. Was that in the earlier pages? I'm guessing it's probably a more complicated, procedure, and therefore they apparently wanted more time to do it. Also, my guess is everybody was bringing their Korban Pesach in for Shechita, so therefore, look, I got Nedavim, on a normal day, I got Nedavim and Nedarim and Dava, which is fine. But in Korban Pesach, everybody is bringing the Korban Pesach, so you have a humongous amount of Kohanim working, but you also have a humongous amount of Korbanot with a limited amount of space. So therefore, my guess is they simply wanted to max out the time and give you an extra hour. That's my guess. I don't know for sure because I don't know enough about the Lord's Korban Pesach coming in just today, but that's my guess. Okay, we're now skipping the Gemara from Tanur Rabbana, Nun Chen Amad Aleph. We're going to go all the way to Nun Chen Amad Bet. Do you see where the Tosfot on the right-hand side, there's a Tosfot that says, Ha'oleh Oleh Rishona. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4th Tosfot down. Immediately to the left there is the Tanur Rabbanan. I'm going to skip to that point, and then we'll be able to get back to this rather complicated Gemara either after Mincha or maybe after Ma'ariv, even before Ma'ariv. But this Gemara is much more straightforward, so we'll really be able to learn quite a bit of it and cover our space. Tanur Rabbanan, Minayim Shelo Yehi Davar Kodim L'Tamid Shel Shachar. How do you know that the first thing you have to do in the morning is Tamid Shel Shachar? So essentially we're jumping from Tamid of Arbayim, in the afternoon Tamid, to the Tamid of the Shachar. And keep, of course, every single day of the year, you always had to bring in a minimum two Korbanot, which was the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Arbayim. So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, it says, V'arach Aleha Ha'ola. Thou shalt organize or place on it the Ola, the burnt sacrifice, the burnt offering. My Talmud, the Gemara says, what do I learn from that? That doesn't tell me that the Korban Tamid has to be first. So I'm a Rava, Ha'ole, Ole Rishona. It's not talking about, that pasuk is not talking about any old Ola, which I might have thought. It's talking specifically about the Ola of a Korban Tamid. And it says, Varach Aleo, Ha'ola. Ha'ola means Ola Rishona. I want that Ola of Korban Tamid to be the Ola, meaning the first Ola. Okay, that's how the Gemara learns that out from the pasuk. Uminayin she'in davar karav achar tamid shel ben arba'im. So fine, I know that ha'ola that the pasuk was talking about means korban tamid of the morning, and that would be the very first one. But how do I know what you told me before, which was that nothing could be makariv after the afternoon tamid? The Gemara says, Tamalomar v'hiktir aleha chalvei hashlamim. Thou shalt burn on it the fats of all of the peace offerings. My Talmudah. What does that tell you? That's talking about, that pasuk's talking about the morning korban. What does that have to do with the afternoon Talmud? So where it says, Amar Abayi aleh shlamim velo al chevra tashlamim. What that means is after you, that pasuk is telling you that that after you give the sacrifice of the morning, you then put on the fats of the shlamim. And what it was trying to tell you is only on that korban, that ola of the morning, can you then add on top of it the fats of the shlamim. But the one in the afternoon, you cannot add on the fats of the shlamim, which means that has to be the last thing that you do during the day. Does that make sense? Or do you want me to go over it?
Yeah. Okay.
So my Talmud, how do you... Yeah. Matkif la Rava. So Rava, do you want me to go over it or do you want me to continue on?
No,
so Matkif la Rava. Rava says, how do you learn that from that pasuk? Ema shlamim hu delo nakriv. So I understand the pasuk. The pasuk says, on the morning korban. So let's say this is morning and this is afternoon. On the morning tamid, you're supposed to be makir the shlamim. So I know that after the morning tamid, first of all, it comes first, and second of all, afterwards, you start throwing on all of the fats of the shlamim. You're telling me that from that, I learned that I'm allowed to throw on the fats of the shlamim afterwards, but it's only on the korban tamid of the morning that I'm allowed to add on afterwards more korbanot, but on this one, there's not allowed to be anything afterwards. But you're learning that out from the pasuk that talks about shlamim. So what about other korbanot? So fine, I'll agree with you. Then on the shlamim, I have to do after the korban tamid of the morning. And I'm not only allowed to do it after the korban tamid of the morning, I'm not allowed to do it on the korban. The shlamim, I'm not allowed, the peace offerings, the one that you eat half of, and the kohen eats half of. So that, I understand you're not allowed to give after the korban tamid of the afternoon. But how do I know? What about all the other korbanot? There are other korbanot. Maybe the other korbanot, that pasuk only says only do the shlamim after the ola of the boker and not after the ola of the afternoon. Maybe the other korbanot you're allowed to do. So the Gemara says, Eim shlamim udelo nakriv. Ha olot nakriv. But if I have other burnt offerings, other completely burnt offerings, I'll do them after the korban in the afternoon. All I know is I'm not allowed to do shlamim after this. How do I know that I'm allowed to, not allowed to do other ones? Elam rabba hashlamim aleha. Hashleim kola korbano kulam. Says, don't read the word shlamim as in peace offerings. Read it hashleim, which to complete, which we saw before. That is, all what it's saying is complete all of the korbanot on the korban tamid shel boker, but not on the korban tamid of the afternoon. Those have to be done before the korban tamid of the afternoon. Right? They have to be, the korban tamid of the afternoon has to be done last. Correct. So it changes the word hashlamim to hashleim, those, to complete those. Tana Rabbanan, Tamid Kodem LePesach. This is the order. Tamid comes before Pesach. Pesach comes before, didn't it just say, by the way, that Tamid comes last? How can you Pesach afterwards? So Pesach is a, well, we'll see. Well, Pesach will be a special rule that you have to do it last. We'll see you soon. Tana Rabbanan, Tamid Kodem LePesach, Pesach Kodem LeKtoret, Ktoret Kodemet Lenerot, the Ketoret would be the incense offering on the Mizbeach HaZahav on the inside, and the Ketoret comes before the Nerot. The Gemara says, here's the Chiddush, Yuchar Davar Shnemo Ba'erev Uben Arbayim, Davar Shalom Amar Bo Ba'erev Ela Bein HaArbayim Bilvad. What they're saying is you have to move the thing where it has two psukim. By Korban Pesach it has two psukim. One says, do it Ba'erev, and the other pasuk says, do it Bein HaArbayim. It says it twice, two different psukim and two different Dvarim. I think one in Dvarim, one in Shmo. But when it comes to the Tamid, it only has by in Parsha Pinchas, and it only says Bein Harbayim. So by the Tamid, it says Bein Harbayim. By Korban, it says Bein Harbayim also, by Korban Pesach, but it also says Ba'erev. So that's telling you that on one hand, it's equal to the Tamid, theoretically, you have to do it about the same time. But the Erev tells you, I want you to push it afterwards. And this one exception, the Korban Pesach has to come afterwards. Ihachi, but the Gemara says that's no good because Hachi Ktoret Venero Nami Niktimu LePesach. If you remember, the order was Tamid, Pesach, Ktoret, and then Nerot. But by Ktoret and Nerot, it only also says Bein Arbayim. It never says Ba'erev. So Ihachi, if you're telling me that by Korban Pesach it says both Bein HaArbayim in the afternoon as well as by Erev in the evening, and that causes it to come afterwards, Ihachi Ktoret Venero, third line down, Nami Nikdemu LePesach. So it should also come before the Pesach. The Pesach should be dead last. So Gemara says, Yuchar Davar Shneamar Be'erev Bein HaArbayim with Davar Shalonem. Yuchar, we should be pushing Korban Pesach because we should be pushing Davar Shnemar Be'erev U Bein Harbayim, which is the Korban Pesach, the Varshalonamar Ela Bein Harbayim, which is the Ketoret and the candles. The Ketoret and the candles, the Neirot. Bilvad. So the verse says, no. Shiny Hatam Demiu Rahmana Oto. The Gemara gave us a special classification with the word Oto to tell us that the Ketoret and Ner go last even though they only have the word Bein Harbayim. Pesach has the word Erev. True, but Ketoret and Nerot have the word Oto. We'll have to see exactly how that works, the word Oto. D'tanya, we learned in a Braita, May Erev Ve'ad Boker. The candles have to be lit from evening until morning. Tein La Midata. You have to make sure that there is enough oil. Tein La Midata. Shtei Doleket May Erev Ad Boker. So the Gemara says, how come the pasuk says it shall be lit from the evening till the morning? So you have to make sure to put enough oil even on the longest night of the year, like winter, and make sure that is even on the night of the summer, I believe, you have to put in as much oil as you would need for the longest possible night to make sure it would go from evening until morning. Davar acher, there's another way to understand that pasuk, me'erev ad boker, ein l'cha avoda shekshera me'erev ad boker elazu bilvad. there is no other avoda which is kshera from the afternoon until the morning except for this, which is, this is the last one that has to be done at night, the hadlakat of the neirot. My time, amakra ya'arucha oto aronu vanav me'erev ad boker ya'aruch oto, you shall establish or set up it, the candles, Aharon and his sons will do from evening to night. What does the Gemara learn from that? Oto me erev ad boker, ve'ein davar acher me erev ad boker, which means it goes from evening until morning, but nothing else can go beyond that space, which means essentially once you light candles, that's nighttime. Nighttime starts. You've established the boundary of night. Once you've established the boundary of night, there's no other avoda that can go on in the Beit HaMikdash at all. The itkish ketoret l'neirot. Ah, that's fine by neirot, but how do I know that ketoret goes after Pesach? So maybe it should be like this. Maybe it should be tamid. Ketoret, which doesn't have the word oto. Pesach, which has the word ba'erev and ben harbayim. And then neirot, which has the idea of oto erev baboker. So the Gemara says, no, ketoret, itkish ketoret l'neirot. The pasuk actually says, it says, thou shalt light the candles, v'hiktarta aleihem, and then you shall give the offering upon them. And therefore it proves that Ketoret and Neirot essentially come at the same time. With Ketoret first, I think. What was first? I think Ketoret was first and then Neirot. Yeah. First Ketoret, then Neirot. The Gemara says, wait a second, but not so fast. You need to know something. V'tanya ki kashen. This is about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines down. The Tanya Ki Kashin. However, you should know something. Our question about making sure the Pesach should go at the very end, before the Neirot and the Ketoret, was in fact asked by this very Braita. What did the Braita say? Tamid Kodem Ketoret, Ketoret Kodemet L'Neirot, Neirot Kodemet L'Pesach. So the order, in fact, should be, according to the second opinion of the Braita, it should be Tamid first, then Ketoret, then Neirot, and finally Pesach at the end. Why? Because Yeuchar Davar Shneamar Ba'er Bein Harbayim, Davar Shalom Neamar Bo Ela Bein Harbayim Bilvad. Because in fact it's true. Forget about the whole Oto thing for now. You should just know that Pesach comes last because it says Ba'erev and Bein Harbayim. All the other three simply say when do you do these services? You only do Bein Harbayim, and therefore Pesach in fact does come last. By the way, don't confuse May Erev Ad Boker with Ba Erev. They're making a diuk here that by Korban Pesach, it says not only Bein Harbayim, but your Makrovid Ba Erev. Ah, it also says Ba Erev by the Neirot. It doesn't say Ba Erev, it says May Erev Ad Boker. So that's not telling you a time to do the sacrifice, that's just telling you a time when the candle should be lit. So essentially, you could ignore. What it means is that only by Korban Pesach does it say Bein Arbayim and Ba Erev, but by Neirot and Ketoret and Tamid, it says just Bein Harbayim, and therefore the order should be Tamid, Ketoret, Neir, and Pesach. And that's in fact what the Braita in fact says. So the Gemara says, V'hatkiv Oto, but wait a second. We heard of some din called Oto, which tells us that the Neir has to come very at the end. Gemara says, no. Hi, Oto, mi baile, de miute avoda shebifnim. It's true. Oto tells you that you have to do the Neirot last. But that's only talking about the korbano, not the korbano, but the services that are done in the Kodesh. But the Pesach's not done in the Kodesh. The Pesach is done in the Chatzer. It's done outside. So when the Pasuk tells you, Oto, that you better do the Neirot last, that's only excluding anything else that's done inside. But it doesn't tell you that the Pesach, which says both Bein Arbayim and Ba'erev, can't be done after the Ketoret and the Neirot are done inside, because what you do inside excludes any other service inside, but it doesn't exclude the Pesach, which is outside. Gemara says, Umay Nihu, what? Ah, so what's left? You're telling me that Ba'erev excludes... You're telling me that Me'erev Ad Boker Oto excludes anything else inside. What else is there inside? There is nothing else inside. So the Gemara says there is something, the Ketoret. What it's telling you is first you have to do the Ketoret and then you do the Ner afterwards. Once you do the Ner, you can't do the Ketoret. Gemara says Sakdai Damina Ho Bechtiv. It says the pasuk Uvahalot Aaron at the Nairot Ben Arbayim. When Aaron raises up the candles or lights the candles in the evening, Yakti Rena. It makes it sound like first you do the Nairot and then you do the Ketoret. Ema Nadlik Nairot Bereisha VeHadar Nasir Ketoret. Gemara says no. Miit Rachman Oto. That's why the Gemara used the pasuk that Oto is Me'erevad Boker. Ella Bein Harbayim Yakti Rena. To tell you that first the Ketoret's done, and then once the Nerot is done, that prevents you from doing the Ketoret. The Gemara says, "Ela bein arbayim yakti ren olamali." So if I know that essentially the Nerot are the last thing that you do, and the Ketoret it says bein arbayim, so what do I have to say bein arbayim by the Nerot? It can't be anything else but bein arbayim. If it's first Ketoret, then Nerot, and I know Ketoret's bein arbayim, then I kal v'chomer, I know Nerot's bein arbayim. So where it says no, so Lamali, what do I need to know that the Nero is on the afternoon? Sachi kama rachmana, be'idam alek a Nero tehei miktara ketoret. What I'm trying to tell you is to get the two things sort of at the same time. So really, if I said ben arbayim for the ketoret, I wouldn't know exactly when, because I have a big ben arbayim. So since I know the Nero are the last thing that you do is supposed to be done in the Erev, and in the same pasuk it says, ketoret ben arbayim, and Nero ben Abayim, so just like the Nero, the last thing that you do, the Ketoret is the second to last thing that you do, which pushes it all the way to the end. So once again, we have Tamid, according to this, Tamid, according to the second opinion, it's Tamid, Ketoret, Nero, then Pesach outside. According to the first opinion, it's Tamid and Pesachim outside, and then Ketoret and Nero on the inside. Should we continue on, or Tana Rabban? I guess we should. Tana Rabban, in lecha davar shekodem l'tamid shel shachar el ketoret bilvad. Nothing comes before the tamid of the morning. We're back to morning tamid, except the ketoret. The only thing that you're like, you weren't allowed to do any karbanot in the morning for the tamid, but you can do is light the incense on the golden mizbeach. Shenemar ba boker. It says by the ketoret that's on the golden mizbeach to do it in the morning. Ba boker. But yukdam toret davar shenemar ba boker. Dichtiv ektir alav aron ketoret asamim ba boker. Davar shalom namar bo el boker. By korban tamid only says ba boker. By the ketoret of the morning it says ba boker. Therefore ketoret comes first, and afterwards comes the tamid of the morning. Vein lecha davar shemitakev achar Tamid shall ein arbayim elak toret v'neirot, and there's something that you have to know. Upesach, and so just like nothing comes before the morning tamid except the ketoret, nothing comes after the evening tamid except for a ketoret again, b neirot for reasons which we see before, and pesach because it has ba'erev and bein arbayim. And one more thing, umechusar kipurim be'erev ha'pesach. Somebody who was a mitzora or a zav who becomes purified on the night of Pesach, if he doesn't do his korban chatat first, he won't be able to eat the Pesach. Therefore, in that case, you must do the korban first. You do the tamid to say the day is over. Then you do the chatat to purify yourself, your tovel, and then you do the Pesach. So, in one case. The chatat of somebody who just came out of being a tzarat and coming out of zav does in fact come after the tamid. Do we have to daven in mincha? Marif. Marif. What's that? I didn't, so it's okay. Do you mind if I... You want to study though? But I didn't finish the entire gemara, so a few lines. Okay. Middle of something. Yeah, this idea of Mechusar Kippurim. So essentially, the only things that come after, where do you see the Tosfot says Zeb Bina Av? Mm-hmm. So it's across from that and like three lines up. Ein lecha davar shemitakev achar tamid shel bein arbayim. There's nothing that comes after the tamid of the afternoon. Ela ketoret nerot Pesach, which we knew. Mechusar Kippurim be'erev Pesach shetovel shenit v'ochal pischal. La'erev. So essentially, he has to wait till after the tamid, because otherwise he still is in his impure day. After the tamid is when he's now finished his seventh day, or whatever it was, or 3 days. Now he could be tovel. After he's tovel, then he's makriv his korban, and then he eats from the Pesach. So essentially, it has to be done after the Tamid, but before the Pesach. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yishmael ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll continue on and we'll see why. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, Af Mechusar Bikurim B'Shayim Oshanah. It's not only on Erev Pesach that if a guy gets out of his state of being Tamei Zav or Tamei Tzara, that you do it after the Tamid. Any day of the year you get out of the Tamid, after the Tamid, your Makri, your something called your Mechusar Kippurim. So the Gemara says, the Ochel B'Kachim L'Erev, and then after you do that, then you can eat whatever Kachim are coming up, whatever Kachim you eat, you could do it because now you're pure. So the Gemara says, Bishlama L'Tana Kama Yavo Asei De Pesach Sheish Bo Kare B'Yidcha Asei De Hashlama She'ein Bo Kare. So according to the Tana Kama, you can only do it on Erev Pesach, and that makes sense, because if you don't do your Korban Pesach, you're over an Isser of Kare. And you're not really tummy anymore because you finished your tumah on that day. So if you don't allow the guy after the korban tummy to be makar of his mechusar kiparim, he's going to be officially tahor. He's still not going to be able to eat his korban pesach because he hasn't gone to tovah because he hasn't borne the sacrifice. The guy's going to be over not doing korban pesach, which is the two assays, but one assay of korban pesach has a karet on it. So therefore, of course, you're going to. You have to bend the rules a little bit and let the guy sneak in between the Tamid and the Korban Pesach, because if you don't do the Korban Pesach, you really hosed. El Rabbi Yishmael ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, Mayu Lemei de Hayasei, Me Hayasei. So, okay, so I have the assay that I want him to eat Kachin. That's nice. But I have another assay that says that nothing can come after the Tamid. So how could you bend one assay for the other assay? You can't bend one out of shape for another guy. Let him wait a day before he eats Kachin. Amravina, Amrav Chista, Hacha B'Chatat Ha'Ofaskina. No, when Rav Yochanan ben Baruch said, Rav Yishmael ben Osho, Rav Yochanan ben Baruch said that you're allowed to on every day of the year be makrib your mechusar kiparim. That was only talking about a guy who only owed a chatat of, not a full chatat. Why? She'ein mizbeach elo dama. Because what you do with the oaf is the oaf, you never do a sacrifice. First you do a tamid. The problem is, how can I allow the guy to do more sacrifices on the mizbeach? The answer is, you're not really. All you do with the bird is you squeeze out the blood, and the bird gets done somewhere else, and therefore nothing's really happening on the mizbeach after the tamid. Yes, you're doing a sacrifice chatat, but the sacrifice chatat is on an oaf, and it never really touches the mizbeach except for the blood, and therefore it's no problem doing it after the korban tamid. Which really means nothing's really happening after the Korban Tamid. And that's what Rav Yishmael was talking about. But if I had a chatat which had a real animal on it, that I couldn't do. And Rav Papa says, no, you're not right. Rav Papa Amar, afilu tema b'chatat behema. Even if a guy who's just become tahor owes a chatat behema, I could still do that after the Tamid. How is that possible? Every day of the year. Not just on Pesach, where the guy's going to be over an Isser Karet, but even every day of the year I could do it after the Tamid. What do? Maleo malino berosho. You offer it, you shecht it up, you put it on the head of berosho some mizbeach, and then you don't burn it. You see what I'm saying? That is, he can now eat kachim, theoretically, because he's sacrificed his korban chatat that he owed after his days of impurity. You're not allowed to burn the meat on after the tamid. Don't! Take the meat that you just chopped up in little pieces, korban chatat, leave it there on the mizbeach until the next day. So he does his korban tonight, so he gets out of his tumah state tonight, and that's what Rav Yishmael ben Baruch was not telling you that you're supposed to fully do it and burn it, that you can't do. But you can go through the process of cutting it up, and I believe then the guy becomes tahor, and he can go be tovel, even though the actual burning of the pieces has not yet been done.
You're not over by doing that?
What's that?
You're not over the time by leaving it for tomorrow?
Let me look at Rashi. Rashi must refer to that. It's Rashi right across from where we are, about four lines down. Malel malina baroshim mizbeach. All you have to offer it, and it atones for that person. As long as it's lying on the Rosh Mizbeach, it's not posel, even though it's the next day. I think it's according to the one who says as long as it doesn't come off the Mizbeach. So it looks like as long as you leave it on the Mizbeach, it's like it's in the freezer, so to speak, and it doesn't become pasul. So it looks like Rashi was bothered by the same thing you did and wanted to point that out to us, that it's not a problem. As long as it's like it touches home base. As long as it touches home base, I could burn it tomorrow after the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. So the Gemara says, Vaha Ika Asham, but wait a second. That's not the only sacrifice that a Mitzorah has to give. A Mitzorah also has to give an Asham. What do you do with the Asham? You can leave that over all night? So the Gemara says, Bishlam Ala Papa Hainu Demalim La. So according to Rav Papa, yeah, you could take an Asham, you could leave that over. So it looks like only a Chatat, according to everybody, a Chatat you could certainly leave over on the corner unburnt and burnt the next day. But the Asham that goes along with this whole process, Rav Papa agrees that it acts just like the Chatat and you can leave it over without burning it up. Elul Rav Chista, who apparently, and I have to say, I don't know for sure, but I think what Rav Chista would say is that it has to be burnt up that night. Ma'ika Lameimar, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? You have no choice. Now you're going to be sacrificing things after the Tamid Shel Arbayim. And how could Rav Shmuel ben Baruch say that on a standard day? On Pesach, I understand. On Erev Pesach, I understand. But on a standard day, I don't see it. Because even if you're not going to be burning up the Chatah, you could be burning up the Shlamim afterwards, after the Tamid. So the Gemara says, no, Amri, I'll tell you, Shekar Vashmo, he already did his Asham. Who says that? What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush, you don't have to do your Asham after you do your Chatat. You can do your Asham, I guess, anytime, even while you're still tummy, you can give your Asham. It's only the Chatat that has to wait until after the X day, until nightfall the X day. The Hayika Ola, but wait a second, that's not the only sacrifice. You have another sacrifice. You also have to offer a burnt offering. The Chitema Ola Lo Ma'akva, and if you're going to tell me that really for this Mitzorah guy who has to do a Mechusar Kiparim, Kippurim, you don't have to do a Oled. It's not true. V'hatanya, how do I know? It's not that it's not true, but it's Rav Yishmael Benosha, Rav Yochanan ben Baruch himself, who's the one who's telling you that you're allowed to do a Chatat. He's the one that along with the Chatat, you also have to do an Oled. Omer, Kishem Shechato v'ashamo ma'akim oto, just like you have to shecht your Chatat, and you have to shecht your Asham before you become Tahor, kachol oto ma'akvato, so you have to do an Oled as well. So I'll give you the same answer I gave by the Shlomin. Maybe I did the Ola early on in the day. Maybe I'm allowed to do that. Nobody holds that opinion. An Asham, I accept you're allowed to do before the Chatat. But who says such a thing by the Korban Ola? Why? Because it says, Umi karva olato kodem l'chata'o rishon. Who says they're allowed to do the ola first and the chata'at second? V'hatanya, we learned that it says in the pasuk, v'hikriv esher l'cha'et asher l'chata'at rishona. It says you have to sacrifice the chata'at rishona. Ma talmud lomar im l'lamed shetei kodemet l'ola. If it's just trying to tell you that in general a chatat has to go before an ola, hari kavayna emar ve'et hasheni yaseh ola, which is first you do the chatat and then you do the ola. But if you're just telling me that that's the way it goes by this specific sacrifice, and I'm looking, it says in the corner vayikra hey, I don't think this is a mechusar kaparim. I think it's a different type of chatat. I don't know which one though. I should have taken the time to look up vayikra, and I don't know the sefer that well. But I'm thinking that this is a different one, not a mechusar chaparin, but by a different type, it says do the chatat first and do the ola second. But the Gemara says, why does it have to say do the chatat first and do the ola second? It says do the ola second, so I don't have to say do the chatat first. Or vice versa, it could say do the chatat first, I don't have to say do the chatat second. I know if this is first, the other one second. I know if the other one second, this was first. How could I have to say do chatat first and do ola second? So the Gemara says, elozeb na'av. It's telling you that not only by this specific case of a chatat followed by an ola, you have to do in that order. Any time you have a chatat that goes along with an ola, the chatat always has to be a first, which means not only by that one specific case in Vayikra Hey, but also by the Mechusa Chaparim. And now I got a problem, because I can't just leave the let me read on. The Kaimalan Dafidu Chatata Of Kodemet Leolat Behema. And even if you're only doing Chatata Of, you have to do it before the Olat Behema. So even like you wanted to say before, that we weren't talking about a Chatat that was a full animal, we were only talking about a Chatat Of, which all you have to do is squeeze the blood out, and therefore it didn't interfere, it didn't come after the Tamid. No good, because in any case, I always, this is a Binyan Av, which means every time I do a Chatat of any type whatsoever, even a silly minimal squeezing of the bird, afterwards I have to do the Chatat. So even if you want to say that the bird doesn't come after the Tamid of the Abayim, the Ola absolutely does. So the Gemara says, Amarava, shiny Ola Mitzora. Guess what? You're right. every single ola always comes after every single chatat, except for one case, which is an ola of a mitzorah, which is a mechusar kiparim. Why? Rachmana Omar ve'eleha kohen et ola. There, and by the way, that's in Vayikra Yudalaj. You see that? That's later on. The one that we learned to be an av for was just a general chatat. I don't know, I have to look back in Vayikra Hey to see. We learned to be an av that the chatat has to always be followed by the korban, korban ola, and therefore you're going to be messing up the time each shalar bayim, even if it's just a bird chatat. But the Gemara says, no. A mitzorah is a special case where a korban chatat for a mitzorah, the ola can supersede it and come before. Because it says, v'he'eleh kohen et ola, she'he'eleh kvar, that the oleh comes first. I have to tell you, that's not biblical Hebrew. V'he'eleh is future tense. It's a vav ha'yipuch, which means he'eleh is past tense, but v'he'eleh is, and then he will raise it. But essentially the Gemara is saying, don't read it like standard grammar. Read it as if it really is past tense. Amar le rav, shemen bar avol rav papa, Lididcha, but wait a second. According to you, Damart, so now Rav Papa's happy. Rav Papa has the situation, I have no problem. The Asham I did earlier. The Ola I did earlier, even though I'm never allowed to do an Ola earlier, I'm allowed to here because it's a Mitzorah. And the Chatat, what I do is I don't do the Chatat completely. I chop it up and I put it on the corner of the Mizbeach and I do it tomorrow. Either way, the Tamid is still last and I'm a happy camper. But Rav Papa, he says, listen, by the bird guy, I was okay because there was zero done on the Mizbeach. And there weren't even little pieces of the chatat on the mizbeach. Amar Rav Papa, but according to Rav Papa, who says that even an animal you could do a chatat, because all you have to do is leave it over on the corners of mizbeach. L'didcha damar tamale malina, all you do is chop it up and leave it on the corners. Barosh Hashem mizbeach, kaiman v'avdina milta l'kohanim da'atu beili de takala. But now you're going to cause kohanim to mess up. Why? The svira, the yomehu, they don't know what they. They're going to see little pieces. They're going to say, we forgot. Let's get it done fast. Or they're going to say it's puzzle, actually, I guess, because it wasn't done of that night. It was done of the previous day. Va'atu lakturi, and they're going to come to sacrifice it. And if they come to burn it, they're going to be doing it after the tumid. So Amalei, Kohanim's reasoning. No, Kohanim don't make mistakes like that. Kohanim know what they're doing, and they know that these pieces shouldn't be burned until after the tumid of the next day. So Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Kana, Va'amalei Rav Huna, the Amri law, and some people say Rav Huna Bered Rav, not on the Rav Papa, Vaha Kama Delo Mikterei Murim Kohanim Lo Matzach Lebasa. But listen, you got another problem. You're telling me that I could chop up the little pieces and leave them on the corners, and you told me that Kohanim are not going to make a mistake and burn them too early. Fine, but didn't we learn that until the Imurim, which are the fatty parts, I think the Imurim, I'm not sure which part of the Imurim. Imurim is like the tail of a lamb, I think. Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. What does it say? What does it say about Imurim there? Let me look over here in my English. I have English here.
And the tail of the lamb.
I think it's specifically the tail of the lamb, but I'm not sure. And I think a lamb is always a chatat, so that's why we're talking about the Imurim. But you know what? I'm not sure. This is one of those things where I should really buck up on Sefer Vayikra before trying to learn this Gemara. But in any event, for whatever reason, the Imurim is not going to be burnt up, obviously, because it's left on the corners of his back, because I can't do anything after the Tumid. So we said that we learned, Hakama delo mektira Imurim kohanim lo matziach libasar. The kohanim cannot eat their share. The Tanya Yachol Yehu kohanim reshayim b'chazeh v'shol kodim haktarat Imurim. You might have thought that the kohanim were able to eat their pieces of the meat before the Imurim are burnt up. So Tamal Omar, we learn in the Pasuk, v'hikter hakohen et hachelev hamizbecha first. They sacrifice, they burn up all of the fats, which would include the Imurim, the Hadar, and then only afterwards it says, V'haya ha-chazem aron levanav. Ah, so what? V'kama de-kohanim lo achli basar balim lo mitkabrei. So what good did it do you? That is, why did you want to do this whole korban in the first place, this chatat, so the guy would be able to become purified, so he could eat his kodshin? But wait a second, the guy can't become purified anyway because you're leaving on the Mizbeach. And if you leave it on the Mizbeach, the Kohanim can't get their meat. And if the Kohanim can't get their meat, the guy's not tar anyway. So you were makir of a korban that didn't help you out at all for your final goal, which was to get the guy purified from his status of tumah. D'tanya, how do I know that? V'achlu otam asher kiper behem. And they shall eat them, those which purified for them, or those who pay back for them, or those who do kapara for them. So malamet shakoni mochlim u'balim dekaprim. That is, it's not just enough for the balim to do the korban. the Kohanim have to get their meat, and the Kohanim can't get their meat before the Emorim are burnt, and therefore if you leave it on the corners, you haven't solved any problems anyway. So what's the point of doing it? So Amalei, so he says, Efshar Asa'um Kemishinit Ma'o She'avdu. So I'll tell you that there are cases when the Emorim are lost, literally lost, or they become Tame. I guess somebody touches them with Tame. In that case, they're not burnt up at all. In those cases, the Kohanim are able to eat their meat. And in those cases, because the Kohanim are able to eat their meat, the guy becomes from the Chaper. So here too, just like in the case where I lose the Emorim, or the Emorim become Tame, here, even though the Emorim are perfectly good and they're lying on the corner of the Mizbeach and they can get burnt up tomorrow, I treat them as if they disappeared. Therefore, the Kohanim could get theirs, and therefore the guy could become a Chaper. So I haven't wasted my time. Detanya Yachol Nitmu Imurim Osha Avdu Lo Yu Kohanim Zakayim B'Chazes Shok. What happens if the Imurim get wasted or they get lost? Are you telling me that the Kohanim can't do their job and eat the breast and the thigh, therefore rendering the person who offered the Chatat Tahor? Talmud Lomar V'Haya V'Chazel Aron V'Rav Mi Kol Makom. Mi Kol Makom. Okay. So that's the Gemara up to this point. I'm leaving just only a half of a page on, I'm leaving a little section up to the Mishnah, and then a new section. So we did a little extra half of a daf. And now let's see, what time do you want to go to? Okay, so here's the problem. I don't know if I'll be able to finish, because I didn't finish the Gemara in preparation. I finished about three quarters of the Gemara in preparation. It's a very difficult piece of Gemara, but let's kick it off and see what we can do, and I'll do as much as I can. And if I may have to give up on you, So hopefully the extra bit I did on Nun Ten Amid Bet makes up for the a little bit that I won't do on Nun Chet Amid Bet. So I apologize for cheating you out of a little bit of Gemara. But let's see what we can do. We're back on Nun Chet Amid Aleph, and it says Tana Rabbanan. Do you see the last Tosfot on the page that says Chayshinan? So it's 1, 2, 3 lines above that on the right-hand side. It says Tana Rabbanan. It's about 8 lines up from the bottom of the thin lines on Nun Chet Amid Aleph. See it? Tana Rabbanan, kashidu ro b'chol, exactly as you do it on a chol, which is 8.5 hours. Now here we're talking about the korban tamid shel arbaim. And just to do a quick recap, it's done from 8:30 to from 8.5 hours to 9.5 hours on a regular day, from 7.5 to 8.5 on erev Pesach to leave an hour, and from 6.5 hours to 7.5 hours on an erev Pesach that also falls out Erev Shabbat. Now with that information, now we're ready to attack this Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabban, Kisiduro b'chol, Kaksiduro b'Shabbat. Just like you do the Tamid on Chol, which means 8.5 to 9.5 hours, so too do you do it on Shabbat from 8.5 to 9.5 hours, which means essentially you treat Shabbat exactly like any other Chol. You do not treat it specially. It's not like a Erev Pesach, so you have to move things up. Dibri Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kisiduro b'Erev Pesach. No. You do it on Chol like you do it on Erev Pesach, which of course does not make sense, because Chol is 8.5 and Pesach is Davka, either 7.5 or 6.5. So this is a very confusing Braita, and the Gemara is about to say that version of the Braita is not right. I'll tell you what the Braita is really trying to say. The Gemara says, "My Kama." What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. I don't understand what Rabbi Akiva is saying. I understand Rabbi Yishmael, he tells you to do it at the same time in Shabbat that you do it on a regular Chol, although I don't understand what the Chiddush is there, because why wouldn't I do it the regular time? But I certainly don't understand Rabbi Akiva, who says that on the Chol, I'm supposed to do it on... There's missing words there. All he says is blank, do it just like on Erev Pesach. I don't know what he's talking about. So Amar Abayi, Hachi Kamar, this is what he's trying to say. Now we're rewriting the Braita. Kishidu ro b'chol b'Erev Pesach. Just like you would do it on a weekday, which is Erev Pesach, which would mean from 7.5 hours to 8.5 hours, kach siduro b'Shabbat Erev Pesach. So too on Shabbat, you move it up by 1 hour, and you do the Korban Tamid from 7.5 hours to 8.5 hours, leaving you 2.5 hours for the Korban Pesach, which you are makriv on Shabbat, because, in this case, Shabbat and Erev Pesach are the same day. If Erev Pesach is on Friday, then you can't go into Shabbat. But if Erev Pesach is Shabbat, then obviously you do the work that you need to do on Shabbat in order to get the Korban Pesach going. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kishiduro be'erev Pesach shechaliot be'erev Shabbat, just like you do the Tamid on an Erev Pesach, which falls on Erev Shabbat, which is from 6.5 hours to 7.5 hours, kach shiduro b'Shabbat. That's when you do it on Shabbat, you do it on 6.5 hours to 7.5 hours. Umatnitin, what about our Mishnah? to Katani it says on our Mishnah, Bein Bechol, Bein B'Shabbat. So if you take a look at our Mishnah, it says to do it according to our Mishnah, there is no difference between Chol and Shabbat. And Rabbi Akiva says there is a difference. On Shabbat, you move it up till 6:30. So Rabbi Yishmael is the one who would say our Mishnah, which is that there's no difference between Shabbat and Chol when Erev Pesach falls out. On Shabbat and Chol, either way you do it, that is, whether Erev Pesach falls out on, let's say, Tuesday, or whether Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat, you do it at 7:30 to 8:30. Rabbi Akiva here is saying that on Shabbat you always do it at 6:30, and therefore, now we have four times. This is very confusing, isn't it? What it is what Rabbi Akiva would say, that an Erev Pesach which falls out on Erev Shabbat is, everybody agrees, at 6:30. He would say that a regular Shabbat is also 6:30. As opposed to our Mishnah, which said that if Erev Pesach, let's read our Mishnah again, I just want to get the Mishnah. Tami Nishchap Ishmono Mechsa Vakar Batisho Mechsa. So you go from 8:30 to 9:30. Ba'arbe Pesachim on Erev Pesach Nishchat B'Sheva U'Mechza V'Kar B'Shmona Mechza. Right, so here we have three different times. We have a regular Chol day. Let me see if I can get that straight. We have a regular weekday. We have Pesach falling out on a regular weekday. We have Pesach falling out on Erev Pesach falling out on a regular weekday. Erev Pesach falling out on Erev Shabbat. And Erev Pesach falling out on Shabbat itself. So it's three separate times. According to our Mishnah, it was, you almost have to graph this out. It's a little confusing without graphing out. According to our Mishnah, if Erev Pesach falls out on Chol, it's seven and a half to 8.5. And if it falls out on Shabbat, it's 7.5 and 8.5. The only time that it's 6.5 is if it falls out on Erev Shabbat, which is, you know what, I have the wrong days. Friday, Shabbat, Sunday. So if Erev Pesach falls out here, you do it on 7:30 to 8:30. Here on Shabbat, it falls out 7:30 to 8:30, which means Saturday night is the first day there. But if the first Seder is on Friday night, which is Erev Pesach and Shabbat come together, that's when it's 6:30. But according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, just like you do Erev Pesach on Erev Shabbat when they come together, so too do you do every single Shabbat. Korban Tamid, Shabbat you always move up to 6:30. Which means according to our Mishnah, these both are 7:30, 8:30. And only Erev Shabbat and Erev Pesach is 6:30, 7:30. According to Rabbi Akiva, Erev, this one is 7:30. Erev Shabbat, Erev Pesach. Sorry. This one is 6:30 to 7:30. Every standard Shabbat is also 6:30 to 7:30. Everyone, regardless of whether Pesach is falling out on that day, or Erev Pesach is falling out on that day. And then he would agree that if Erev Pesach is on a regular weekday, that would be 7:30. But according to our Mishnah, both Shabbat and Chol are 7:30 to 8:30. According to Rabbi Akiva, only Shabbat on Chol is 7:30 to 8:30. According to Rabbi Akiva, Erev Pesach, which is on Shabbat, is 6:30 to 7:30. Okay. I'm sorry, I know this is, it's kind of hard to juggle. I have a hard time bringing it down. So let me go over that again. So the Gemara says, my ka'amar. Amar abaye haki ka'amar. Kasidu rabba chol b'erev Pesach. Kaksidu rabba Shabbat b'erev Pesach. So just like you do chol erev Pesach at 7:30, kaksidu rabba Shabbat b'erev Pesach. Which is exactly what our Mishnah said. Did we, Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Kiva omer. Kasidu rabba b'erev Pesach. Which is pshachal liyot b'erev Shabbat. Which is 6:30 to 7:30. Kaksidu rabba Shabbat. That's what you do when erev Pesach also falls out on Shabbat. Or maybe every Shabbat. That goes directly against our Gemara, which said not 6:30 to 7:30, but 7:30 to 8:30. 7.5 hours to 8.5 hours. The Gemara says umatnit indika bein b'chol bein b'shabbat. In our mission, which says it doesn't make a difference whether Erev Pesach falls out on a Sunday or a Saturday, it's always 7:30 to 8:30, 7.5 hours to 8.5 hours. Rabbi Yishmael, that's Rabbi Yishmael, not Rabbi Akiva. But my kamiflagei, why are they arguing? The musafim kodim levazikin kamiflagei. They're disagreeing which comes first, the korban musaf, which is on Shabbat, and the bazichin, which you also do on Shabbat. What are the bazichin? The bazichin, what happened was, next to the showbreads, next to the breads that were on the shulchan, you also had this incense that you had to burn special, and that incense would essentially sit on the shulchan next to the breads. I don't know what it was there for. I don't know enough about korbanot to know. Maybe to make them smell good or taste good. I don't know exactly what it was. But anyway, you had a special offering that had to be done with the breads. That offering took exactly 1 hour. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says that you have to push up the korbanot by 1 hour. We'll see why. So Rabbi Shmuel Savar musafim kodmim lebazichin. So Rabbi Shmuel says that musafim come before the bazichin. So avad lu musafim b'sheish, uvazichin b'sheva, va'avad le tamid b'sheva u'mechza. Since you had to do the musafim first, the first time you could do them was at 6 o'clock. The bazichin you had to do right afterwards, so that took you to 7 o'clock. And then when the bazichin were over, not 7 o'clock, but 7 hours of the day, and then the first time that you could possibly do the korban on Shabbat was 7:30. Therefore, you didn't move it up to 6:30 like Rabbi Akiva wants you to do, because it's impossible to do such a thing, because you have to do the musafim before the bazichin. And since you have to do the musafim right away at 6 o'clock, you must always do the musafim, the first possible thing. Then you do the bazichin, and then both of those get in the way of doing the korban tamid, which is pushed off to 7:30. Rabbi Akiva savar bazichin, kodim musafim. It's not true. I can do the bazichin in the morning. Musafim, everybody agrees, can't be done before the afternoon at 6 o'clock. So normally I would have to take an hour for the bazichin, an hour for the musafim, a half an hour for the bazichin. I'm stuck with doing, according to Rabbi Shmuel, I'm stuck with doing the korban tamid at the earliest at 7:30. But Rabbi Akiva says no. The bazichin, this incense that could be put onto the showbread, could come early in the musafim, which I can do in the morning. So therefore, in the morning, bazichin b'chamesh, I do them at 5 o'clock. I do it at the fifth hour, which is 11 o'clock in the afternoon, 11 o'clock in the morning. Musafim b'sheish, I do the musafim then. V'avad lay v'tamid sheish u'mechza. I'm sorry, the musaf apparently only takes a half an hour. The bazichin take one whole hour, and therefore, if I have the time to move up the korban tamid, go and move up the korban tamid as much as possible, so you have room for the korban pesach, which comes afterwards. So matkif le Rava. Rava doesn't like this whole thing, so he says midi Rav Akiva isku b'erev pesach. It never says in that first Braita that Rabbi Akiva, the whole first Braita was a little bit, it didn't have the full words anyway. And what we did was Rabbi Akiva was saying, just like you do 6:30 when Erev Shabbat is Erev Pesach, so too every single Shabbat, because first you can do the bazichin, then you can do the musafim, and move up the korban tamid as early as you want, as early as you can with 6:30. But it never said, but in that first Braita that we had up above by the Tanur Rabbanan, it never said the words Erev Shabbat Chaliyot, Erev Pesach Chaliyot, Erev Pesach. It wasn't telling you where the 14th of Nisan was falling out on Friday. Katani Kasidu Rob Erev Pesach Stama. It just says, whatever it is, you do as if you do it on Erev Pesach. It never says Erev Pesach that falls out on Erev Shabbat. So Katani. El Amar Rav, I'll tell you exactly what Rabbi Akiva was saying. He was saying like this. Hakin Kama. Kasiduro Bechol Ba'alma Kaksiduro B'Shabbat. Just like a regular weekday is at 8:30, so too is a Tamid on Shabbat Kesidu rov b'chol da'alma, kach sidu rov b'Shabbat b'erev Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. That just like the chol, a regular chol, is at 8:30, if you have a Shabbat tamid to do, but it's also an erev Pesach, if you remember, our mission is said to do it at 7:30, but Divrei Rabbi Yishmael says to do it at 8:30 just as if it's a regular weekday. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, kesidu rov b'erev Pesach, you do it like it's erev Pesach, which would be 7:30, which means our Mishnah comes out like Rabbi Akiva now, and not like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel now works like this. If you take a look at a little chart of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday, if I have a tamid, or it's just a regular tamid, I do it at 8:30, and therefore I have a Shabbat that is also Erev Pesach. I also do it exactly the same thing, which is at 8:30. It's only Erev Pesach, then I move it up to 7:30. And that would disagree with our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Rabbi Akiva says, what I want you to do, let's read Rabbi Akiva again. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, third line from the bottom, Omer, Kesidro Be'erev Pesach, 7:30. That's when I do Shabbat, which is also 7:30. Hold on. Okay, come on. Kesidro Be'chol Alma, Kachsidro Be'Shabbat, Be'erev Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Kesidro Be'erev, Kesidro Be'erev Pesach. You do it on, when you have a chol, in general, you do it at 7:30. No, I'm not sure what that means. I thought it was Shabbat. Alright, I'm going to go on a little bit. Otherwise, I think it means Shabbat, although right now it doesn't read that way. So matnit dekatani bein b'chol bein shabbat. When it says that whether Erev Pesach is on Sunday or whether it's on Shabbat, you always do it at the same time, which is at 7:30. That's Rabbi Akiva. And b'mai kam lefkei. So what are they arguing about? How come Rabbi Yishmael leaves it at 8:30 if Erev Shabbat is on Erev Pesach is on Shabbat, and Rabbi Akiva moves it up to 7:30? So they say b'kamifkei b'michmar b'sar. We're worried that the meat is going to spoil k'miflagei. Rabbi Shmuel sabar chashinu l'michmar b'sara. I'm worried that if I sacrifice it on Shabbat at 7:30, by the time the next day rolls around, it's time to... that is, I've sacrificed the Korban Pesach at 7:30, 8:30, but I can't touch it until Shabbat is over in another three and a half hours. I'm worried that the extra hour is going to cause the meat to somehow become ruined. So therefore, he wants to push off the Korban Pesach to the standard time from 8:30 to 9:30, and therefore it allows you...
7:30, 8:30, 9:30.
That leaves you very little time before the day is over. Rabbi Akiva Samar Lo Chashino Menichmar. I don't have to worry about such a thing, and therefore I can do 7:30 to 8:30 on the Tamid, and 8:30 to 9:30 on... that's it. Right. Sorry. According to you, but it's a very important hour, because according to Rabbi Akiva, the Tamid is the 7:30 from 7.5 to 8.5 hours. And the Korban Pesach is 8.5 to, let's say, 9.5, leaving you 2.5 hours at the end of the day. But, according to Rabbi Yishmael, if I force you to do the Korban Tamid from 8.5 hours to 9.5 hours, that means the Pesach, you start at 9.5 hours, let's say you finish at 10.5 or 11 hours, I only have one more hour until the whole day is finished, and therefore there's a smaller chance for the meat to become ruined. So, Rabbi Akiva, Savar Lo Chashino, and Nechmar, I just don't have to worry about, Rabbi Yishmael is worried about the meat becoming spoiled or burnt up. I think Nechmar means burnt up. Yeah, it's because I don't know, somehow the heat is going to cause it to, I guess it become invalidated for the actual burning on the altar, I suppose. I'm not entirely sure. So, and Rabbi Akiva Sabar Lo Chashino L'Michmar Bishra. Gemara says, E Lo Chashino, so wait a second. So Rabbi Akiva said, E Lo Chashino Ne'avdav Sheshu Mechza. On Shabbat, you got nothing else going on. So why make Shabbat just like a standard Erev Pesach? Just like a standard Erev Pesach, not Erev Pesach, the full standard Erev Shabbat, but a standard Erev Pesach on a chol is at 7:30 to 8:30, you only move it up 1 hour. But I don't understand. But on a standard chol, I got to worry about Nedavim and Nedavot. But here, I don't have to worry about Nedarim and Nedavot because it's Shabbat, and I don't have to worry about Michmar Basar, so why don't I move up the Tamid to as early the way it was supposed to be? Remember, the Tamid was supposed to be done as soon as the sun moves into the western sky. Why do we push it up from the Dharma Dabbah? Why do we pull it back to 7:30? Because I need time for Pesach. But on a Shabbat, there is no Dharma Dabbah. So why, once you move it up all the way and maximize the time that you have available for Korban Pesach? Start the Korban Pesach right away, because I'm not worried about the meat becoming ruined. Why take 1 hour when you could take two? By the way, and this is the opposite of what he said before. So it's going both ways. If you remember, last time, Rabbi Akiva was the one who says bazichin could be done in the morning. It was something done first. But here, based on this logic, so since we rewrote the Braita anyway, we're not only rewriting the Braita, we're rewriting Rabbi Akiva's opinion. According to Rabbi Akiva, the musafim have to come before the bazichin. And therefore, avidlu musafim b'sheis, the earliest you could do it is at 12 o'clock or 12:01. And therefore, that takes you from the sixth hour to the seventh hour. Uvasheva uvavilei latamid. Sorry. Other lulav musafim b'sheish, uvazichin b'sheven, and you do the vazichin at 7, and you finish, I guess, about 7:30. Vavid later time, b'sheven mefsan, the earliest time you could do the thing. I would love to move it up to 6:30. I'm not worried about the meat getting ruined, and I don't have to make any room for the davening and the davening. The problem is that a musafim, the first time it could come is 6 o'clock, and then after musafim is the vazichim, which means the first time I get a chance to do it is 7:30, which is exactly Rabbi Yishmael's logic the other way, but then again, the whole braita was rewritten. The whole braita was written. So Makifle Rava Bar Ula. Rava Bar Ula doesn't like that interpretation of the Braita either. It thinks you're putting words into the Braita. Midi Kasiduro Bechol, Kak Siduro B'Shabbat, Be'erev HaPesach. You made Rabbi Yishmael say the following. Amar Makifle Rava Bar Ula. Midi, is it so that Rabbi Yishmael would say the following? To see the robe of chol, just like you do it on chol, i.e., from 8:30 to 9:30, kach see the robe Shabbat, the erev Pesach, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael would then say that's how you do it when erev Pesach comes out on Shabbat. You also leave it exactly 8:30 so the meats don't get ruined. Katani, that's what he learned in the Braita. Keep in mind, by the way, it was only Rabbi Akiva that was sort of garbled in the Braita. If you look back at the original Braita, Rabbi Yishmael said this whole piece. It was only Rabbi Akiva that you didn't have two sides. He just says, that's the way you do it on such and such a day. But he never told you what it was that you were doing like. There was no comparison. Rabbi Yishmael had both sides of the argument. So you're saying you just changed Rabbi Yishmael. You stuck in something Rabbi Akiva. In order to make him match to Rabbi Yishmael, you stuck in this idea of Erev Pesach that falls out on Erev Shabbat. That's not what he said. All he said is that's how you do it on Shabbat, not on Shabbat that falls on Erev Pesach, but Shabbat period. He's not talking about specifically a Pesach Shabbat Tamid. He's talking about 52 Tamids of the year. He's not talking about the one Tamid that falls out on Shabbat with Erev Pesach. He wants to know every Tamid of the year. So he says Hachi Katan. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Wait, no, I got it. Ella Amar Rava, Ella Amar Rava Bar Ula. What does Rava Bar Ula say? Hachi Ketani. This is the way the Braita should be read. Kasidu Ro B'chol, just like you do on call, the Alma, which is from 8:30 to, which is 8.5 hours to 9.5 hours. Kachsidu Ro B'Shabbat Ba'alma. So we leave Rabbi Yishmael exactly as he is. Which means, now our Mishnah was only talking about 7:30 and 7:30, if Erev Pesach fell out on Sunday, or if it fell out on Shabbat, 7:30 and 7:30. We're not talking about Erev Pesach. Forget Erev Pesach. That's not what Rabbi Yishmael is talking about. He wants to know, just like I do a Tamid at 8:30 on a regular Sunday that has nothing to do with Pesach, so too do I do it that way on Shabbat. I do it at 8:30 to 9:30. So anyway, Kach. So I'll start again from Ella. It's about 7 lines down. Ella Amar Rabba Bar Ula Haki Katani. Kitsi the Roba Chol at 8:30 to 9:30, at 8.5 hours, 9.5 hours. The Alma on every weekday of the year, 52 weekdays of the year, Kach Sidro B'Shabbat, just like so too, oh not 52, sorry, 52 times 6. So too, on the 52 Shabbats, you do it from 8:30 to 9:30. You don't move it up at all. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Kach Sidro B'Erev Pesach, the Alma, just like you do on Erev Pesach at 7:30 to 8:30, right, not one that falls out of Shabbat, but one that falls out on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Kach Sidro B'Shabbat Alma. Then that's how you do it every one of the 52 Shabbats, which is at 7:30 to 8:30. And then I have no problem, because Rabbi Akiva wasn't trying to compare Shabbat on Pesach to Chol on Pesach. He was trying to compare Shabbat on Erev Pesach, Chol on Erev Pesach, which is 7:30, to the 52 Shabbats of the year. So therefore, I have no contradiction in our Mishnah, which was specifically comparing Shabbat of Erev Pesach to Chol, Shabbat of Pesach to Chol of Pesach. And Rabbi Yishmael has no problem with our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yishmael's not even talking about Erev Pesach. He's talking about 300 weekdays versus the 52 Shabbat Tamids. The Divrei HaKol here. But my Kamifgeis, what do they argue about? Because they're on the Davim, the Kamifgeis. Rabbi Shmuel Sabar Gazrin on Shabbat Atuchol. So the question for Rabbi Shmuel is, how come you don't move up the why are you leaving Shabbat at 8:30 to 9:30? There's no reason to push it off because we have no Nedarim and Nedavim. During the week we push off the Matamid, even though you're supposed to be doing it at 6.5 hours as soon as you can because we need to make room for the Nedarim and Nedavim. But there are no Nedarim and Nedavim on Shabbat. So he says, oh, I'm afraid that if I start doing things differently on Shabbat, I'll start to do things differently on the weekdays. So Gazrin on Shabbat, atu chol. I do Shabbat just like I do chol to keep things nice and even. So the Kohanim don't get, I guess I'm putting this in myself, the Kohanim don't get confused. 8:30 is 8:30 no matter what. Forget about Pesach. None of this has to do with Pesach. I'm talking about a standard July weekday and Shabbat. Rabbi Kiva, how come he says move it to 7:30? Sabar lo gazrinan. You don't make Xera. Shabbat you do at 7:30, and a weekday you do 8:30. 8:30 is a weekday, and the Kohanim will do it at 8:30. And on Shabbat, when there's no Nedarim and Davot, I can move it up 7 hours to 7.5 hours. You can see what's coming up. Why not then move it up to 6.5 if I don't have to worry about it and not have to worry about Xera? Elo Gazrina Neavdi Bevavu Mechsa. So fine. So if you're not worried about Xera, that you want to keep weekdays the same as week as Shabbat, and you're not worried about Nedarim and Davot, so move it up 6.5 hours. So he says, Kasavar Musafim Kodim Lebazichin. So what you do, Musafim have to come before Bazichim, and Musafim have to be B'sheish at the earliest, so Bazichim are at 7, and therefore I would love to move the Tamid up, but guess what, I can't do it, and therefore V'avid lay l'tamid b'zayin u Nachza. Okay. From the next Meitvei to the Tana Rabbanan, I did not learn. I think what the Gemara is going to say is, we ask a question, I'll try to go into it, but I may fail. So if I fail, I'm going to have to leave it for yourselves to do. I apologize, but I'll try. Meitev etamid kol hashana kula karev kel chada. I ask you a question. A tamid of all the year, you have to sacrifice it exactly as it is. You have to sacrifice according to the rules. Nishchat b'shmona, you have to slaughter it at 8.5. The karev b'tet umechsa, and you have to actually offer it on the altar at 9.5. U'be'erev Pesach nishchat b'zayin umechsa, the karev b'chad umechsa. And this is, of course, our Mishnah. And on Erev Pesach, the tamid has to be moved up by 1 hour from 7.5 hours from the slaughtering to 8.5 hours for the offering. Chaliot b'Shabbat. Kechaliot b'Sheni b'Shabbat. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. According to Rabbi Yishmael, just like it falls out on Shabbat, Chaliot b'Shabbat, if the Tamid falls out on Shabbat, you do it as if it's on Tuesday, as if it's on Sheni B'Shabbat, which is Monday. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kesidu Ro Be'erev HaPesach. No, you do it on Shabbat like you do it on Erev Pesach, which would be at 7:30. So Bishlama L'Abaye Nicha. So Abaye would say that's perfectly fine. I'm not sure about why. Where is Abaye coming from? I don't know why Abaye is okay. Where's Abaye coming from? Bishlam Abaye. Let me look at Rashi. Bishlam Abaye Nicha. Midikama Rav Yishmael Chaliot b'Shabbat. The Chaliot b'Sheni b'Shabbat. That Shabbat. That Erev Pesach falls on Shabbat. It's just like Erev Pesach falls on Tuesday. Al Korcha Kasidu Ro Erev Pesach. The Kama Rabbi Akiva. The Erev Pesach Chaliot b'Erev Shabbat. Come on. I don't know what this means, so I'm just going to read on. And I think you're going to have to do this again by yourself because I just don't know what I'm reading. Elo l'rava kasha. So I'm l'cha rava lo tema kichal b'sheni Shabbat. Elo l'kisheni Shabbat. It's not just Tuesday. It's as if it was Monday. It's as if it was Monday. Da alma. No, I'm sorry. I don't understand these two meitveis. I got two meitveis. I don't know what to do with them. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave it for another time. So I apologize. I missed about 6 or 7 lines. But we did do a little extra on Mem Ted. On the bed, I got you all the way just to review. I got you to Rav Kahana Rami, which is right across in the Tosfos below. So we also did half of Memtet on the bed. So I don't know if there's such a thing as Tashlumin for a half page of Gemara versus a half page of Gemara, but hopefully there's a Tashlum. I apologize for skipping 8 lines of Gemara on you. I apologize. Okay. Should we do this again next Thursday?
Yeah, no.